Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Billy G's Carolina Barbecue sponsors the national anthem at noon every day. Go check out Billy G at Founders Park if you're going down there to catch the A&M series this weekend. Be right down the right field line, just foul. He'll be right out there with his barbecue. And I'm sitting here thinking about some secret spice rub that I had the other night, which is delicious. I'm starting to do like JB says and putting it on everything. But we're joined now by Isaac Trotter, 24/7 sports basketball analyst. Happy to have you back, man. Good to see you.
What's up, fellas? I would like some barbecue right now. I will.
Yeah, dude, you need the Billy G's rub.
Time, man, it's always time for
some. It is on time. They have decent barbecue in Chicago, but it's not like the South at all. As Isaac knows, because he's here in Chicago. So, Isaac, welcome in, man. Good to have you with us. Just wanted to pick your brain on a couple of topics today. First one is, and I'll kind of tie this back, and we'll put a bow on this since I kind of gave my take on it earlier. Dan Wetzel had an article out about NIL and college basketball and how it has taken some power away from the shoe companies as far as their influence on these kids' decisions. I think that's a net positive, especially for a program like South Carolina, kind of your not, I don't want to say your have nots, but your non blue bloods, your non big brands. What's your take kind of on that and that world? I know you've followed the sport for forever and know full well what kind of influence shoe companies have had previously. I thought that this was kind of maybe an unintended positive consequence of name, image, and likeness.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I think it makes a lot of sense. I also think it really opens the door for some of these kids to make better decisions for like what they need in a roster. It's not necessarily just like tied into like a specific shoe company. Oh, what teams are on this shoe company's list? What, you know what I mean? Like you can kind of like have a little bit of a wider branch where you can find the right fit at the right time. And, you know, there's big time money things going around. Like we hear the numbers going around with Kentucky, well over $7 million to put that roster together this year. And they got rewarded with the first round exit to Oakland. There are teams that still have a big number of money compared to the rest. But I think that there's just so many players in the portal that can really help you. And so I feel like there's just a lot more options for roster building to build a competitive roster. And, you know, we've seen a lot of teams. I mean, Utah State had zero NIL last year and made the tournament, made the second round. I wouldn't say South Carolina is leading the top of the SEC in the NIL department for basketball right now, but you're still able to put together a roster that can win. And I think that's a I don't think that's going away anytime soon. And I think it honestly is going to get a little bit better as we move forward, because the new NIL regulations of where you've seen different collectives, they can now talk to players and you have to get all of the contracts on paper. That, I think that's going to help a lot too, just to necessarily not try to avoid some of the, hey, this school has given us $700,000. Can you beat it? Even with no proof.
Oh, yeah. Oh, trust me. Trust me. I mean, there's kids that are like in all sports that just come throw out some crazy numbers. It's like, I'd like 600 grand, please. Well, how about 60? I'll take it. Easy, you know, hold on, you know, so that's definitely one of those things I think that we got to keep an eye on. But I thought that was an interesting thing, because I was never really comfortable with the shoe companies being involved. Just my worldview or whatever. But and certainly I'm not saying they don't have any info. They're not like put out to pasture or anything. They're still there. But I think this is a tool that some schools can compete with. And you're right. So on the transfer portal, man, you sort of look at the rosters with the teams left and all the teams in the tournament. My goodness, the sheer number of mid-major transfers that have made an impact on high major teams in the tournament this year. It's unbelievable. What's your take on that? And is this going to be the future of college basketball, where I don't want to say mid-majors will be farm teams, but it's certainly shaping up that way.
Yeah, no, it's definitely trending that direction. I think it's interesting with the Final Four is that you can look at Alabama's roster with the mid-major transfers, and that's helped. And UConn has it, right, with Tristan Newton is on there. Then obviously Cam Spencer started at the lower ranks. But then, like, Purdue is the outlier because they don't have any transfers outside of just Southern Illinois' Lance Jones, just one transfer on the entire roster. So I think it kind of – the Final Four this year gives you a little bit of credence that you can build a high-level, you know, roster that can win in March in multiple different ways. And that's interesting too, moving forward. But I do think that, like, that mid-major transfer up, you know, there's been a lot of success stories this year. There's also been some failures too. It's not a perfect 100% hit rate all the way through, but I do think it's a sign where you can, you know, getting those on-ball reps at a lower rank is going to be really interesting. And I'm also looking at, you know, even in this portal cycle, we're going to have some guys that started at the high major ranks, transferred down to the mid-major ranks after not playing their first year and played for a couple years. And now they're transferring back up to the high major ranks. And I'm fascinated to see how those boomerangs go, because that could be another interesting angle moving forward of, like, those guys that they didn't play much as a freshman, they went down as sophomore and junior and played 32 minutes a game for 70 games, and now they're ready to be a high major player again, like mm-hmm. we thought they were a few years ago as a recruit.
It's almost like baseball when you send somebody down to the minors. Michi Johnson, of course, South Carolina's a high major program, just like Ohio State, but obviously Ohio State's had more success through the years. He's a boomerang guy. He went back home. Your thoughts on that? And I know you're a Big Ten guy, and how that impacts the Buckeyes and you know, what he can accomplish during his second run. You know, you'd think a lot of people around here would be upset about it. I don't think people are. I think the kid grew up dreaming of playing for Ohio State. How many times do we chase a dream and fail, but then we get a second chance to go? I mean, that's a life thing, and he's back home. So your thoughts on Michi?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. You know, it's weird, right? You make the tournament, you have this great year, and now it's like, oh, now I'm leaving, right? It's just, it doesn't feel right, but it's still just a situation of what college basketball is these days. I thought Michi had a good year for South Carolina. I don't think we should, you know, try to sell something fake and say that he was the best player in the SEC, or he's just like this unbelievable difference maker. He was a good player. You can find really good players in the transfer portal. So for me personally, him going to Ohio State makes a lot of sense. I didn't necessarily love that Ohio State lost Roddy Gale because Michi Johnson was coming in. I thought that is a unintended consequence there that might hurt them a little bit. But moving forward, I think we're going to have a situation where South Carolina can go in the portal and sell what Michi Johnson did. And we'll see, you know, if they can go into the portal, get a guard that can really be a difference maker for them because of the Michi Johnson sell, it could end up being a net positive for both parties involved. And you just kind of have to let that go. It just stinks though, when you see a player who, you know, came to South Carolina, was sold a vision, and that vision comes to, you know, fruition, and then he leaves for his fifth year. It's tough.
Yeah. You know, and if I think people feel weird about it, if he wasn't going home, you know, and he's one of the first people to ever move to South Carolina and then move back to Ohio.
That's, which is a big thing. Yeah,
you,
here,
you,
right?
You roll through Hilton Head Island, you get Ohio people. They don't leave. They stay. You know, usually.
I'm going to keep my comments to myself on the state of Ohio.
But what's funny is, like, I mean, Michi's the big name transfer, but I think, you know, and let me know what your thoughts on this are, Isaac. But, you know, I think the Talon Cooper replacement is more important for this team to get an experienced guard, like, all around like that, that it's going to be harder to find somebody like that than it would be to find somebody to replace Michi.
Yeah, I think I'm right there with you. I was doing some of the team needs for all the teams in college basketball, and I think the lead guard, point guard, is definitely the top need for South Carolina moving forward. And there's some good options out there in the portal, and we've seen point guards transfer up, point guards that have had a really good careers. Look, think of the NCAA tournament again. Tristan Newton transfers from East Carolina up to UConn, has had a really good, really, really good career there, All-American. Mark Sears transfers from Ohio up to Alabama, second-year transfer, has a All-American type year. So that's the type of model that you're looking for. And there's some really good point guards, I think, in the portal right now that I like. Javian McCollum just entered out of Oklahoma. I'm a huge fan of his. I'm just thinking off the top of my head. There's been some other ones too. The kid out of Toledo, Dante Maddox, is a bucket. He's a really, really good player. And then obviously JP Pegues out of, or how do you ever say his last name, out of Furman, is a really good player that South Carolina's already had interest with. But the underrated one too is the loss of BJ Mack, because I feel like a stretch five, that feels like the archetype of the best offenses in college basketball this year, have had some of those centers that you can run offense through and initiate offense at the top of the key and can shoot some threes. And there's not many of them in the portal right now. Why? Because one, those dudes don't enter the portal because teams want to hold on to them, right? And like that's the model there. So I would be really watching the portal in the next couple of weeks to see if any of those stretch fives enter, because I think South Carolina has a really interesting sell for those type of guys to come in and be an impact player right away. And you're going to have to bid up for them because, again, like I said, there's not many in there, and we know how the market works in the portal. But that's a really big position of need too.
There was a kid that I think they were eyeing that ended up getting in the portal, but had a do not contact. It's probably going to Michigan. Danny Wolf from Yale was a guy that I think, had he opened it up, they were probably going to go after him pretty hard. 7 foot, 250. He's from this area, from Northern Illinois. I think the northern suburbs. 38% from three. Probably going to Michigan guy, you know, but so good for Danny. What's his name? The new coach at Michigan, Danny May or whatever. What's his name? Donnie Mays?
Dusty.
I knew it started with a D. So there you go. But you're right. There's not that many guys like that out there. And BJ's ability to hit the three this year was an important part, I think, of everything. So I think you're absolutely right. It's not easy to always replace guys like that. Although I do think Colin Murray Boyles, from what I'm told, he can shoot outside. He's just got to develop it a little bit. So maybe that ends up being a big guy that can shoot, that can run offense through and all that. So you're taking on the Final Four, man. UConn, is it UConn? I mean, last year, it was obvious UConn was going to win, I thought. I didn't think anybody could match up with them, even Miami if they got hot. This year, I don't know. If Alabama gets hot from the field and, you know, gets in one of their zones, they can beat anybody. You got Purdue on the other side, like an awfully strong team that feels like a team of destiny. And then of course NC State and everybody's favorite player, DJ Burns, who's from South Carolina, by the way. You just give us your breakdown of what's going to happen in Phoenix.
Well, let's start here. This is one of the oldest Final Fours. I was looking it up since KenPom Tracks experience in 2007. This is the first time with four top 70 teams in experience this year. That has nothing to do with the COVID year or fifth year transfers. That it's just isolated to those individual years. Like most experienced teams in college basketball for this one season, and this year we get four of the top 70. So I do think that whole narrative of old teams win really showcased itself this year. There's not a ton of true freshmen in the Final Four here that are making a huge impact. Steph Castle at UConn is kind of the main one, but you look at NC State, the seven guys in that rotation are all upperclassmen and all transfers. You look at Purdue, they have one true freshman in the rotation. He plays 5 to 10 minutes a game, right? It's a lot of veterans, a lot of guys there. Alabama, like we said, the mid-major band of transfers there. So that is an interesting angle for this one. And then you look at these matchups, it really does feel like Purdue and UConn are on a collision course. These have been the best two teams in college basketball for really a while. We've been debating it internally, like who's the best team in the country? Is it Purdue? Is it UConn? I personally would love to see that on Monday, that type of the Donovan Klingon, 7'2", 270 against, you know, Zach Edey, 7'4", 300. Like that would be a big time war there with a lot of NBA eyes would be all over that one too. But I do think that the Final Four right now, we're going to have, you know, a lot of people, if you look at the spreads, it's like a double digit favorite for Purdue, double digit favorite for UConn. I think there are some avenues for these games to be competitive. You know, if you look at just what Alabama does from an offensive perspective, just shooting the three at a high level, I think that's a game changer with a UConn team that really hasn't shot it all that well from three. So if you're doing the math and like, oh, if Alabama makes 15 threes and UConn makes four, you know, how does UConn make up that 33-point margin in other different areas? The other aspect that I'm looking at with that game is offensive rebounding. Alabama's offensive rebounding has been phenomenal lately. That's really the game changer. And I think the real piece here that's going to change this game, because those long shots that Alabama takes, you know, they're going to take a lot of threes. That's a lot of long rebounds. If UConn gets those are buckets on the other end, because this is one of the elite transition offenses in college basketball. And so if Alabama can corral a couple of those extra offensive rebounds like they did against North Carolina, like they have been able to do against Clemson, that really could change the game here a little bit. Because if you can keep UConn from getting out in transition and getting rim runs and getting buckets like that, you have a chance. And if you don't, you are cooked. And if Alabama doesn't get those offensive rebounds, they're done.
The Illini found that out the other day. I have a bunch of buddies that are Illinois fans, and they're all fired up through the roof. And, man, then all of a sudden 30-0 run, and you're like, oh, wow, it's over.
Wow.
God, yeah. Very sad. Very sad for the Illini the other day.
UConn is like a wagon in half court, and then in transition, they're like a steamrolling tank. It's just a different level. All those dudes sprint the floor, like just run so hard, and then obviously those guards throw it ahead too. So I'm really impressed by them.
Yeah, that's why I think the Alabama matchup for them is actually going to be a little tougher than Purdue, because I just think that, you know, they can run Purdue up and down the floor, and Edie's not going to matter if they're, you know, if they're getting there before he is, and they're raining them down from mid range. I mean, it's, you know, doesn't really matter.
That matchup on Monday would be fascinating, because if foul trouble, Edie's the best foul drawing big man in the country. That kind of changes things, but you're right. Like if there's an area Purdue's, you know, personnel, that's a problem, it's transition. Cause if you can turn them over, and that's an easy bucket on the other end. And if you can beat them down the floor, that's an easy bucket on the other end. And they know that, which is why they the style that they do, but, and they're trying to avoid it as much as possible, but that's easier said than done against UConn.
Yeah. It was Tennessee against Purdue. Clearly the more athletic team just couldn't connect enough. Anyway, yeah, I'm looking at this. This kind of reminds me going back in time. I mean, heck, maybe before you were born, man, which makes me feel old. But the 86-87 Final Four kind of set up this way. You had Indiana and Syracuse are kind of on a collision course. You had Providence under Rick Pitino made it that year. Billy Donovan was the point guard. They were kind of the NC State. And then you had UNLV making their first sort of venture into the Final Four under Jerry Tarkanian. That wasn't the great UNLV teams we saw a few years later, but it was their first. And their style's kind of like Alabama, you know, back then, you know, kind of the different style. Indiana beat them pretty good. And then, of course, Keith Smart hit that jumper, and that was Indiana's last title back in 87. But it kind of sets up like that for me, just kind of looking at, you know, you got one team, one style, you got it up, you know, you got all that drama there, so it'll be good. All right, man. Well, hey, we appreciate you. Thank you, Isaac. It was great. Don't be a stranger. We hope to have you on more. We enjoyed the last segment you did. We enjoyed this one, and hope you enjoy the Final Four this week. You got a pick? Is your pick Purdue, or are you going to pick Connecticut?
I went UConn over Alabama, then Purdue. I have them beating NC State. I think Purdue is a bad matchup for NC State, and then in the finals, I've gone back and forth on it. This tournament has been a narrative killing one all year, right? Like narratives are being destroyed left and right all year. You can't attach to any of these previous things. So, but I'm probably going to go UConn. I think they're just a different level.
I've talked smack about Purdue all year because, number one, I don't like their mascot, Purdue Pete. He's terrifying. And somebody wrote, it's the last thing you see before you die kind of deal. I'm like, oh, my God. number two, I don't like their campus because whenever I go back to South Carolina to drive through West Lafayette, no offense to Axl Rose, who's from West Lafayette. And then number three, they're upset prone. I mean, I've been talking smack. I'm like, I don't know why everybody's ranking Purdue number one. They're just going to get beat in the first or second round like they always do. No Final Four since 1980, only two all-time. I look at their program. Their program, people don't realize this, against Indiana, their rival, who has five national championships, they're 127-82. They're like the kings of the regular season. They're like the Atlanta Braves of college basketball. You know, I mean, you talk about narrative killing. I've been just taking shot after for no reason. Nobody cares about Purdue and the South Carolina market, but I've just been taking shot after shot at them, and they're probably going to win the whole thing.
Well, here's the thing. They still have a chance to lose to a double-digit seed, so maybe your narratives will all come back into play.
That's right. Yeah, that second, third-round loss by the numbers is coming to you here in the Final Four.
You got an 11 seed. If you're Purdue, that butt gets tight when you see that double-digit seed, man. Hey, Isaac, thanks, man. We appreciate you. Keep up the great work at 24/7.
Hey, thanks for having me. Anytime.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
That's the great Isaac Trotter from 24/7 Sports joining us. Really like his work. I like the way he talks about the sport too. He's got a youthful enthusiasm backed up with knowledge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Poured and he really knowledge. Did a deep dive on this whole transfer portal thing. If y'all check it out on 24/7, I know it's actually on the Big Spur Front page too, cause it's got South Carolina in there, but he breaks it down all the Power Six, every team, what exactly they're looking for and what they've lost. So, yeah, definitely worth the read.
Yeah, definitely. So the chat box got a little lively about this midweek loss thing in baseball. And guys, look, I was just being critical of that particular performance. I know you do lose midweek games. I'm not ready to jump off the bandwagon. In fact, no. The way this season's going in baseball, when you have a team that's good and you know they're good, they're proven guys. And the record's probably not right there. The batting averages aren't there. Chances are this is just the lull that every team hits. It's just happening now, and they're going to get hot and win a bunch of games. And maybe this year they'll get hot at the right time. I mean, yeah. I would have traded all that great start last year where they got ranked, second in the country there for a while. They're the best team in college baseball for a while. I would trade that start for a finish in Omaha, wouldn't you guess?
Yeah. Be nice to get back out there. You got to think, like, this time last season, what the injuries were mounting up, right? And that's something, fortunately, this team has been able to avoid. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Outside of UConn-Purdue, which matchup will draw the most viewership in the championship game? State, I think UConn. NC State, yeah. They'll be State and UConn. Yeah, David versus Goliath. Mm-hmm. Alabama, Purdue. I think they played each other in the Citrus Bowl a few years back. No, that was Michigan State. Anyway, Saban beat them pretty good. No, Purdue. I don't know. You know, that's.
I think Alabama Purdue would draw fewer numbers and fewer eyeballs than the women's championship.
I'm curious to see if the women's ratings are higher than the men's.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's going to be interesting because the men's are on TBS. Wait a minute. I don't know about the championship game. I know the Final Four games are on TBS this year, not CBS.
I think the championship is as
TBS as well.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
So, yeah, it's cable. Mm-hmm. And so you don't have network TV. And I think the women's championship game is on ABC.
Is it?
It's network television. So
it might be.
It's going to be.
Well, that definitely gives them a leg up.
Hope says, I can tell you in the women's Final Four which matchup will draw the most viewers. Every notification I get on my phone this week has been about Iowa and UConn.
Yep.
Yeah, like I was joking with Mike the other day, they're not going to know who to pull for. Because they're all UConn fans, and then they got their darling, their ratings cash cow, Caitlin Clark.
It was weird during the award ceremonies yesterday seeing – Caitlin and Dawn Staley standing next to each other. I could only imagine what kind of conversations were going on.
Hey, that girl from was it Cameron Brink or whatever from Stanford, the tall blonde. She was in Cleveland or whatever, came by practice and hugged Staley. Coach Staley, everybody loves Coach Staley. All the players.
Oh, yeah.
We're awesome. So, Billy says women's basketball's gotten really good over the years. Watch it all the time. I watch it. Yeah, I watch it more than I used to. I'll be honest. And it's a good game. And yeah, it doesn't hurt that the Gamecocks are really, 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 really good.
Really good.
Really, good. Really good. So, shooting for 38-0 and bringing home the trophy again for the third time under Dawn Staley. So this is this is Final Four, Phil, I think number 6 and the fourth straight.
Yeah, I know. 4 15 straight. 17 Is it 6 or 7? 21,
22, 23,
24. Huh? Is it 6 or 7? That's what I can't remember.
It's 6. It's 20. Okay. 2015, they lost Notre Dame. 2017, they won the whole thing. 2021, they lost to Stanford. 2022, they won the whole thing. 2023, lost to Iowa, and then this is the fourth straight Final Four. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So, probably would have won it in 2020, too.
Yeah, you hate that was that season got cut short because that team was about to roll.
No doubt. All right. So, we are going to be back after these messages on Inside the Gamecocks Show. Don't forget Stuart Lake. Going to join us a little later. He was scheduled first hour like he normally is. He had a conflict, so we're going to get him in the third. That's fine. I think we'll be ready to dive into this series a little bit, Phil, once we get back. And we'll be back after these messages on Inside the Gamecocks, the show.
Chicken cock originated in Kentucky, like so many other bourbons. And so the resurrection of it, Paris, Kentucky, that's the county seat of Bourbon County. So much of this whiskey was being made in that Bourbon County, put on ships and barges and shipped down Ohio, down the Mississippi, and got to New Orleans where it got distributed all over the world. And people kept saying, well, hey, I want some more of that whiskey from Bourbon County. And so that's how bourbon whiskey got its name. And Chicken Cock originated actually in Paris, Kentucky, which is today Bourbon County.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to Palm Casual Patio Furniture. Because we are the factory, Palm Casual has the ability to offer the highest quality outdoor furniture paired with world-class service. Since 1979, our factory showrooms have done our best to make the buying process as easy as possible for our customers. Our understanding of the many factors that go into your decision has helped us create our 30-day trial period that increases the level of comfort our customers feel during the shopping experience. Visit us in Somerville, Mount Pleasant, Myrtle Beach, and Bluffton and online at palmcasual.com for our products and out-of-state locations. Gamecock owned and operated.
Building your dream home is often just that, a dream, and sometimes a nightmare. But at the Barn Door Company, they commit to quality and build without sacrifice. Customization, open floor plans, limitless flooring options, maintenance-free and easy installation perks, and affordability are just a few reasons why they've been named one of the best builders in the U.S. Believe in your dreams. Visit thebarndominiumco.com. That's thebarndominiumco.com. The Barn Door Company. Gamecock owned. Gamecock operated. The preferred sign partner of Gamecock Athletics is Signorama Columbia, and they should be yours too. A full-service sign company that handles design, production, install, and service, Signorama Columbia has helped to bring to life the perfect vision for so many all across South Carolina. Owned and operated by proud Gamecock alumni, they can handle all types of signage, including interior and exterior, vehicle graphics, and more. Go to Signorama.com and find a West Columbia location or call them at 803-407-9284. Bring your brand to life with Signorama Columbia, and go Gamecocks!
Hey Gamecock fans, this is Roman Kimball with South Carolina Baseball. My friends over at Electric Bikes of Charleston have the largest selection of e-bikes in South Carolina. You can cruise up to high speeds of 28 miles per hour, which is about 70 miles an hour slower than my fastball. Stay in shape and enjoy your life with an electric bike from Electric Bikes of Charleston, where buyers come from all across South Carolina. Visit electricbikescharleston.com. See you at the ballpark, and go Gamecocks.
This is Inside the Gamecocks, the show. Here are your hosts, J.C. Sherbert, Bill Mullinax, and Jamie Bradford.
Some lovely pictures from across our beautiful state of South Carolina. Welcome back, everybody. Inside the Gamecocks, the show here. Second hour. Sitting here, Stuart Lake coming up in the final hour to join us. Probably around 1:20, 1:30 is what we were looking at. Trying to be a little flexible with Stu. So whatever time he gets here, we'll be happy to have him on. Talk a little bit of baseball. Preview this A&M series upcoming. Just as a reminder, the last time number three walked into Founders Park a couple of weeks ago, they got swept right out of the damn stadium. So let's hope that's what we've got on tap for this weekend.
And I think I've read or heard somewhere, Phil, and I think it's correct. It may have been from you here on the show. Home teams are winning 71% of the games in the SEC this year.
The home road splits this year are nuts. I mean, it really is. Like, nobody is performing well on the road, which, you know, hey, home field is a thing. So, you just got to make sure you got a good environment. Your players are more familiar with what you've got going on, even though, you know, you just played that midweek that was so discouraging to the fan base just to see that egg being laid right there on a Wednesday night. But that's, wow. I think that's really what bothered me the most. It was just like, it's one thing losing a midweek game. Yeah, we all understand that. And we all understand that championship winning teams do that. But you just didn't. I mean, it just looked so bad. It's just so flat.
It's discouraging. It's just like, you're like, did you try? I mean, what was going on? Would have been better just to bench everybody and throw your second line guys out there so they were excited about the opportunity to put on the uniform. I mean,
yeah,
you know, I think there's tough guys on this team. I don't, you know, they've proven it last year, especially. I mean, and in certain situations this year, I don't get it. But it may just be this too, Phil. They're 18, 19, 20, 21 year old. Young people. You know, sometimes you take a day off, you know, when you're that age. I mean, it's just, I don't know. I mean, it's probably one of those things. So, I don't know about, anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know so, that it was. It's just disheartening. And then, you know, you play in the toughest conference in the sport, and every weekend is going to be
an incredible challenge. And then you're just like, well, are we up to it? But like you said earlier, I mean, these guys are proven, right? And in statistics, there's always the regression to the mean. So regression in statistics means up or down to whatever the mean line is, that middle line. So an underperforming team has a better statistical probability of actually getting better with these proven commodities that they actually do throw out there on the field, which gives you hope and confidence. I mean, that's why I think it's a little, I'm not real big on mid-season, you know, fire this guy, fire that guy. They're college kids. I mean, you know, it is what it is. They're young. You've got to get yourself up for every game, and that's tough. I mean, you know, when you do something every day and you need to be on top of your game and every once in a while it's just tough and you just lay an egg, but man, getting shut out at home really hurts.
Yeah, that's it. Why can't our women claim the 2020 national championship like Bama and Notre Dame claimed back in the day? Like, the Wheaties national championship, the General Mills cereal poll. Hi, I'm Scoop McDonald. Just announcing Alabama has won the General Mills cereal poll for the national champions of college football. Say hi to your Crimson Tide, champions of college football, of the collegiate football in 1928. This is Scoop McDonald, and you're the your sports radio.
It's a lot different when it was just the newspapers, you know, claiming, you know, just bestowing titles upon teams because they figured that was the best one going, you know. So it's like, yeah, I agree with 2020. You cannot claim that national championship. There is a system in place to determine who the national champion is, and that system was not followed to the letter. So yeah, you can't just be UCF and claim it.
Is a tournament sport. That's how we determine the champions in basketball. We play a tournament. Sometimes we play a single elimination tournament. Sometimes the NBA, you play a long drawn out pile of garbage. I don't know, man.
I think the university has appropriately acknowledged we were ranked number one, with the banner that says, hey, finished the season ranked number one. Yeah.
I mean, as far as claiming a natty, I don't know about it.
You're better than that.
You're better than that. That's what college doing at AU. But anyway. Billy says, we outperform everyone when it comes to sellouts and fans. When you go 0-11 and sold out every game, yeah, try going 0-11 now. There won't be 40,000 people there.
The place would look like a ghost town. I promise.
Back then, not every game was on TV, and you didn't have television in high def like now, like you're just really there. You couldn't stream it from your phone. I mean, it's either listen to it on the radio or go to the game.
Yeah, back then I paid, I don't know how many times I paid 40, 50 bucks to watch us lose.
That's crazy.
Multiple times in a season.
James says it was just a question, wondering why we can't. South Carolina and Oregon could both claim, which is no different than Southern Cal and LSU in 04. But that's it. James, this is, I get why you asked the question.
Yeah.
I respect your opinion totally, James. Here's why I just wouldn't do it. It's basketball. It's not football. Football has been determined off, you know, with a poll up until, gosh, even when they had the BCS, you did have the split national title in 04. We've never determined a basketball champion that way. Yeah. We've played it off in the tournament since the 40s, since World War II. So I would, you know, I was that deal. Micah says women's game still isn't comparable to the men's game. The ending of UConn and USC in the Elite Eight was a crash course in awful basketball. There are always awful basketball. Yeah, I mean, there's awful basketball on both sides of it. Do I still prefer the men's game? Yeah, I do. Is it comparable? I think it's comparable, but I think they're different games. Same sport. Like NFL and college football, same sport, but different game.
Yeah.
You know, it's a different, I mean, you obviously there's different things you do in women's game that you don't do in men's game, et cetera, et cetera. I like them both. I like basketball. I've always liked basketball. Heck, I like all of them. I like all the sports except, I like basketball, baseball, and football. I like the big three.
The big three. But
I'm a big traditionalist. I'm not English Premier League soccer and all that. I'm not it. Whittle loves that stuff. Whittle loves it. So we can get him to talk about it. But I'm just not into it all that much. And then, so did y'all talk about the super conference thing yesterday?
We hit it a little bit, yeah, on the whole 80 team with the 10% promotion relegation at the bottom of it. And
anything with relegation, I'm not in favor of.
You know, yeah, it's at that point, you just need to go ahead and delineate between the top tier and then the second tier. And there needs to be a group five championship, just like there is with FCS. I understand why it can't. And I know Mike always brings up, you know, the litigation aspect of it, you know, the antitrust and all of this, but there's ways around that. If you get enough support inside the halls of Congress, then you can sell that. And it not be, because there are, you know, antitrust provisions and things like that. And there are certain guarantees that, like, MLB gets. Are there any other professional major league baseball organizations? No. So would you consider that a monopoly? Oh, most assuredly. Yes. But they're allowed to operate as such because they have these carve outs in the law.
Yeah, they've tried to come after the NIL. Donald Trump tried to sue the NFL back in the day for antitrust with the USFL, and it failed miserably. There were two competing leagues, and they merged, the AFL and the NFL.
Right, and then it settled. Yeah, and then it was settled.
You know, so I think that, you know, when you look at sports in general, Micah says quality seems baseball's home run or strikeout right now. It seems that way with Carolina sometimes, doesn't it? But, and I'm not a fan of that in baseball, man. Give me a exciting – you know, bases loaded route, you know, give me a walk, you know, and then let the next guy get a base hit. And then I like it when they bunt them over and then somebody and then rips them around.
Rips a double
down the line. I mean, that's exciting to me. And I love that. I mean, everybody loves the long ball. Chicks dig the long ball, right?
Yeah.
Everybody loves the long ball, but I've always liked a baseball offense that can do different things, you know, hitting the gaps, that kind of thing. So, Jacob says people can dribble with both hands now and do a layup with both. Yeah, that's true. Ambidextrous. Yeah, I say you got to work that. But I don't know. I don't know that I'm a big, huge fan of – I think when the NBA, when those teams are playing and all, they're trying, right, when they're trying like a playoff game or something, I think it's awesome. You know, I think there's just a lot of cool – I mean, those are some of the greatest athletes in the world.
Yeah.
Performing at peak level. The problem is your average NBA game, it's Loaf City, and it's just, I don't know.
Well, anytime load management is a common theme in your sport, right?
Yeah.
You might be playing too big of a regular season.
Yeah, and they're trying to kind of spruce with these in-season tournaments and stuff, and I get it, but it's, I thought some of the best NBA moments were during when they came back from the pandemic and played everything down in Disney. I mean, because those guys were bored. That's all they had to do was go play ball. And it was some of the best NBA basketball I think I've seen in a while. So, but it's crazy. So Craig says the Aggies have an ambidextrous pitcher who throws in the high 90s.
Wow.
What? So was he, I don't know. Does he switch gloves? Has he?
I've always wondered that. Can you switch?
It would have to switch your glove.
Yeah,
like your extra glove out there and be like, "I'm gonna throw."
Well, I've seen gloves that work for both hands, right? That does exist, but at the same time, like, can you switch like mid batter?
Like, and can you put the guy in an 0-2 hole and then all of a sudden just start throwing the other arm?
Yeah, I mean, that'd be trippy, dude. So I don't know anything about that. Are we due for another break here, Phil?
In the second? We could take another break here.
All right, let's take a break and get right back, and then we'll get to Stuart and then wrap up thy week here on Inside the Gamecocks, the show. We should probably talk a little football at some point, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we haven't mentioned the king of all sports today yet. We gotta talk about that. Oh, there's some nonsense out there too that say now the Bears may not draft Caleb Williams. I think it's nonsense. I think it's BS because they got rid of Fields and I guess Kirk Cousins was the freaking number one
free agent prospect. Yeah,
good
yeah.
God, terrible. When Kirk Cousins he just keeps cashing in, dude. He's the luckiest guy.
I know, man.
I mean, dude, he just keeps cashing in and sits on the throat of mediocrity, counting his money.
Just counting his money.
The Falcons allegedly are loaded around him, though. So if he doesn't, we'll know it's not. We'll know it's him.
Yeah.
If they don't win this year, so that's funny. But so apparently there's that rumor. I mean, I'm like, well, who's going to play quarterback for the Bears if they don't draft Caleb Williams now, because Fields is gone?
I don't know. But, I mean, that reinforces my whole position on this draft, that the best value in the first five picks is trading down and letting somebody else make a stupid decision.
No doubt. At that position in that league, there are dumb decisions made every
day. They are.
I mean, it's the king of all – it's the most popular – professional sports league on the planet, right? And or in our country, at least by a mile. I didn't mean to say the planet for those of you that love soccer, and don't throw those numbers at me. I messed up. Not the planet, but it's the most popular professional sports league in our country, in America, by a mile. And they can and they pick quarterbacks worse than some people pick women and life partners. Worse than, you know, you're just like, really? This guy? It's unbelievable. Blake Bortles is going to save your franchise, Jacksonville. Great.
Oh,
now it's Trevor Lawrence. You know, my God, yeah. They you look around the league too. Last year, half the league got hurt, so you had some guys starting that had no business even like. You're like, who is the hell is this guy?
Yeah.
Oh, so anyway. All right. So, yeah, we'll be right back after this short break inside the Gamecock Show.
Gamecock Traditions, South Carolina's elite retailer for anything Gamecock related. The best selection for basketball, baseball, football, tailgating, kids stuff, and everything else. If it's got the Gamecock logo, it's got to be at Gamecock Traditions. Most importantly, they ship it to your doorstep. Order online at GamecockTraditions.com, where there's always a sale. Gamecock Traditions, GamecockTraditions.com, a tradition unlike the others.
So he comes over to me and he says, listen to me, I don't want to hear one more word out of you about my refereeing today. You say one more word about my refereeing, then you're going to be thrown out of this game. And so I turned around to all my parents. I go, hey, parents, I'm not allowed to tell the ref how bad he is, so I'm going to need you to do that for me.
Oh.
He said, you're
coming. I'm a beggar who could use some help. I'm a seeker searching for myself. I'm a rolling stone just waiting on a friend. I'm a lover wishing on a star for another. A broken heart to hold each other close till the end.
Nana's Porch, nanasporch.com. At Nana's Porch, they cater weddings, parties, and all kinds of special events. Their meals are served buffet style, and seconds, they're encouraged. Plus, they can bring their mobile food unit to bring on-site and serve your guests as a unique alternative for your catering needs. Inquire about rentals as well. nanasporch.com. Find them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. 336-259-7550.
Tony Pope State Farm is your go-to agent anywhere in South Carolina, North Carolina, or Georgia for the service you deserve at the price you want. So try combining your home, life, auto, and or small business insurance today. Tony Pope State Farm has been in business for more than 30 years and can handle anything you need in the tri-state area. 843-851-2222 or visit TonyPope.com today. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Welcome back, everybody, inside the Gamecocks, the show presented to you by the Barn Dominium Co., built by the Barn Do Co., I should say. I was looking at some Barn Do Co. stuff as well, just like you were, JC. It was really interesting. And I'm seeing more popularity on social media and YouTube and things like that about the Barn Dominium setups and you know, folks ordering their own kits and building on their own land and
on my own land.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what,
land
as Greenville gets busier and busier up here, it is more and more tempting to get away from the city.
Phil and I have a friend that moved out to Woodruff, and now Woodruff is growing. I get videos,
right?
They're here at the Boot Pub right here in Woodruff. Oh, you're great, you know. Yeah, that's Nat and I are kind of like Prosperity, even Batesburg, Newberry, out by the lake. If we move back, maybe get a condo downtown for, you know, games and stuff. And
yeah, build. Dina was looking at like Lou Golf.
Yeah, Lou Golf's nice too. That's out the other direction. But anyway, yeah, the Super Conference thing. I never quite got to it. The people that are on, like, I guess it's called, what, College Football Tomorrow? That sounds like a ride in Epcot. Come explore College Football tomorrow. Only at Epcot. Professor Sankey is cooking up something good in his lab. College Football Tomorrow. Now, you notice Greg Sankey, Tony Petitti, the Big Ten, the people with the power now were not involved in those discussions, and there were meetings canceled with these people for the power conferences and stuff. I'm surprised. I guess that's where some of this super conference talk has been coming from, because there's been whispers around the sport. Oh, this is coming sooner than people think. Oh my God. And so maybe that's it. My question is this group, I do think that at some point to fix it, you're going to have to do this. Because this whole every conference for itself kind of thing is clearly screwing some things up, you know. I think probably part of the reason the Big Ten and SEC are kind of working together now is they're probably going to try to get it to work with them so they maintain the control and the money and all that, you know, and not let an outside group come in and deal with it. And that's probably why they started that advisory partnership, is because these guys behind the scenes were going, hey, look, and to a Big 12 or ACC, that's a lifeline. Great. We're all on the same page. You're going to regulate everything. We don't have to worry. You know, so for the majority of schools in college football, this is going to be an attractive option. But you got to have the big boys get involved and come along and all that. I didn't like the relegation part of it, but I also despise the giving more money to bigger brands. And that's just because money means so much resources now, especially with NIL and everything you got to pay for in college football. The teams with the money, that gives you a competitive advantage. And I know baseball is like that, you know, the big market teams with more money, but they try to even it out with salary caps and things like that. I don't think it's fair at all just because Alabama's been good to give them more money, even though technically they do have more value, because that prevents everybody else from building value. You build value in the sport over time, you know, and maybe, you know, even if I were a fan of Bama or Georgia or wherever, you know, if you're Georgia, you're sitting there, were we as valuable 10 years ago? No. Things change in this sport. Things change. Was how valuable was Nebraska in the 80s versus now? You know, things change.
Right. Yeah.
So that's my deal there. Those are the two parts I didn't like. What I do like is give me regional divisions all day long. You know, even if, again, I like the Chip Kelly idea of eight of eight, you know, eight regions, eight divisions, eight teams each. Still have room for little guys, 16 team tournament, 64 teams. Just like, I mean, that makes sense to me. Put South Carolina in the conference with Virginia schools, North Carolina. You can even throw Georgia in there. Clemson, I-85 conference.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I mean. My whole thing was yesterday. It was like, okay, you're going to create this big nationwide conference, you know, that's going to be split up into divisions. What's the most natural and efficient way to split all this up? Geographic regionality.
Yes.
Which is what we used to freaking have before the nine and what will be over the course of 10 years, 10 figure deals coming in through the sport are. So it's like, okay, we're just going to go right back to where we were. This just going to be named. There'll be new acronyms, if you will.
How about this for the Carolinas, Virginia region, right? Clemson, South Carolina, North Carolina, NC State, Wake Forest, Duke, Virginia, Virginia Tech.
With Coastal and ECU rotating in and out for the relegation promotion aspect of it.
Yeah. Give me that one all day long. So yeah, that'd be, you wouldn't have to travel very far for conference road games anymore. All right. We'll be back with Stuart Lake, the great Stuart Lake, to talk about this series this weekend and to talk about, we'll ask him about that Georgia Southern game, won't we? Yeah, we will.
We'll get his thoughts on what happened in the midweek. Yeah.
On kind of what's going on with the team. Inside the Gamecocks, the show, we'll be back after these messages.
The State Farm Personal Price Plan helps you create an affordable price just for you.
Contact local agent Gary Patterson for your personal price plan today.
The screen and it goes to Brewer. 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown Brewer, his second of the day. Pitches it to Brewer, turns the corner, touchdown number 20 of the afternoon.
Hey folks, it's Mike Morgan for Ryan Brewer Fence. That's right, you know the former Gamecock legend as a terrific college football player. Well, I know him as that too. I also know him as the guy that runs a great business, one of the best businesses in South Carolina. How do I know that? Well, for one, I'm actually a client of Ryan's. I had my home in Columbia done years ago, and his crew did an outstanding job, just as he does for everybody else. Whether you're in the market for a fence, railings, columns, or anything in between, their craftsmanship, their experience, and service second to none. Ryan Brewer Fence has over 15 years of experience with consultation and installation of residential and commercial fencing and railings. Rest assured, your job will be done with an unparalleled level of expertise, and it's done on time, and they do it right the first time. Again, you're not going to do any better than Ryan Brewer. Ryan Brewer Fence. The website is ryanbrewer.net. Set up an appointment today. Tell them Mike sent you.
My company is Billy G's Carolina Barbecue. We are based in Columbia, South Carolina, and we have two lines of sauces and a spice rub. I mean, when people try our product, they know it's a gourmet product, and it can go on any type of food. It's not surprisingly delicious. It's expectedly delicious.
Oh, man. The building is on fire.
Emergencies and accidents happen.
When you're in the middle of a fire or water event, all you want is for things to return to normal as soon as possible. Resto Pros of the Midlands is with you, guiding you through the process and working with you to get your home or office back in working order. They'll answer your questions, discuss procedures, and can act as your advocate when it comes to processing your insurance claim. RestoProsMidlandsSC.com. Open 24/7 when you need them. Quality that is guaranteed.
The State Farm Personal Price Plan helps you create an affordable price just for you.
Contact local agent Gary Patterson for your personal price plan today.